What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. I'm trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours.
Fly a fantasy.
Luka Doncic made his debut as a Los Angeles Laker. And
I don't like it.
You know, my son, who's the Laker fan, loved it. And I told him, I said, this looks weird. And he's like, what looks weird? I go, Luka in a Laker uniform. They shouldn't have done him dirty and put him in yellow on his first game as a Laker. I mean, you know, like, I don't know. It just looked weird. Having Luka in a yellow uniform.
Oh, here's what's actually really funny. There's been some science done on this. The whites do not look good in Laker yellow.
Oh, really?
It's an actual thing. Like,
Thurton Sprague were saying that this morning too.
It's an actual thing. Like, his skin tone looks very goofy.
It doesn't look good.
Well, particularly with that highlighter yellow. It's not the traditional Laker yellow. Like, if you go back and you watch old footage of Jerry West in the gold Laker jerseys, it looks significantly better. But that highlighter yellow looks terrible on the white boys.
Yeah.
He needs to get himself an L.A. tan to make it look a little better.
He does need that L.A. tan.
You do.
Just give him a couple weeks. He'll get it.
Because Luke Walton looked okay in it.
Well, I don't remember. I can't put that together right now.
Well, here's the flip side.
My brain's not computing.
Mark Madsen looked terrible.
Terrible.
In it.
Yeah.
You got to have a little bit of color. You got to have a little bit of you can't be a full white.
Yeah, but he may have not looked good in the uniform, but he played good in the uniform.
I mean, he went out there and just kind of did what he does. It wasn't like this explosive thing. He only played, what, 20 minutes?
Yep.
First night off the calf injury. And more than the game, did you see the Hollywood sign?
No.
They flipped the L's upside down and turned them into 77.
Wait, they can do that?
Yeah.
That wasn't just a Photoshop?
It might have just been video work, but...
That'd be quite the operation.
I mean, they do stuff like that. They've done it before for other...
They're very excited to have Luka Doncic, and I can see why.
Yeah, it was... Everything about it was disgusting. LeBron kind of made it about him a couple different times. It came out that Luka was introduced last.
Yeah.
Because LeBron asked Luka when he would like to be introduced.
See, because LeBron is a team guy, you know?
But of course it got out that LeBron
gave his blessing for that.
And then Luka said, I'll go back to, you know, you being introduced last, but I'd like to do it. Come out last this time.
Yeah.
And they also
made
sure. They also
made
sure
that LeBron.
They had the mic'd up huddle.
Yeah.
And they've got LeBron saying, don't fit the bleep in. Fit the bleep out, Luka, which is also hilarious considering what LeBron said about Kevin Love in Cleveland. Stop trying to fit out and fit in.
Yeah, you've got to be part of us.
And it's like, but you flipped it on. It feels like it's one of those things where it was Jim Valvano preparing a speech and he screwed it up.
Yeah. To that point, though, this Lakers team and the way that it's built, this one is built for Luka needs to just do his thing. LeBron just needs to do his thing. In that Warriors team, or that Cavaliers team, it was, no, our pieces are going to be what makes us win, right? And what Kevin Love was doing in Minnesota was not going to be feasible for him to do in Cleveland at that time and with that roster. Right now, with the way that this roster is built, they just need everything that LeBron and Luka can do because they still don't have a big.
And yeah, they made Jackson Hayes into prime DeAndre Jordan last night.
But again, they're playing the Jazz.
I know, but this is what Luka is capable of doing, though. There is not a bigger floor raiser in the league other than Jokic, as far as like just turning dudes into dudes. If you look at Jackson Hayes' shot chart last night, it is lob dunk, lob dunk, lob dunk, cutting dunk, lob dunk, lob dunk, cutting dunk, and it's like,
yeah,
I'm sorry, what? But that's the amount of gravity that Luka on his own has, but when the other guy on the other side of the floor is LeBron freaking James,
yeah,
those Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura are going to have insane amounts of time and space.
Yeah, it's also the Jazz.
Well, we'll see them play out of the All-Star break is the Portland Trailblazers. So.
Again, we'll see another great litmus test that they're going to have there.
And they probably won't have DeAndre Ayton for that.
Here's my thing. The Lakers are currently the 4 seed. They, in the playoffs, right meow, would play the Rockets. They could get past the Rockets.
Yeah.
Then they have Jokic in the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not a title threat. Anybody saying them as a title threat is out of their freaking mind.
But, and like, that's the thing. People will make it into that.
Because they're dumb.
We can acknowledge that Luka and LeBron is a terrifying pairing. 100% they are. But, like, I really need to see what they are going to do against a legit. And look, Portland will be a better test than that. Because Walker Kessler, really good. Still really good. But they're going to have a good test in that, oh, well, if DeAndre Ayton's not playing, you know, it'll be against, well, Robert Williams may not be playing. Donovan Klingon will be playing.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so we're not going to get any better semblance of what this could be. And you're sitting there and you're looking at it going, well, can they run against bigs and legitimate bigs? And LeBron and Luka are going to have probably a pretty big day against the Portland Trailblazers.
I mean, LeBron, one of his career averages across the board, his box score, is against Portland.
Who's Tumani play? Who does he defend?
Luka.
That would be fun.
100% Luka. I mean, he'll spend time on both, but
JG on LeBron?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's the problem. Like, even if you're talking about, like, really good teams, they don't have the rest of their pieces. They're going to have to figure stuff out this summer. They're going to present a lot of problems because you have two guys on the floor who require two defenders.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. With like Rui and Reeves, it's going to be incumbent upon them because if they hit shots, they can be in any game because of what they can do.
Yeah, but in a 7-game series against,
I mean, that
legitimate
getting worked on the bigs. Boards, like that's where their weakness is going to be.
A big issue.
Don't be wrong. Like, Braun and Luka are great rebounders, but they're not. Like, you can't sit there and be like, well, we're going to go small ball 5 with Braun at the 5 at 40 years old. You can do that for stretches, but that's not something you can get away with all game.
Well, Austin Reeves, he learned something new.
Austin, just as like a basketball aficionado, was there a part of
what?
Helping your vocab tonight, aficionado.
What's that?
A fan. Big fan. Someone who appreciates the game of basketball,
right? I
didn't
know that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is something, seeing Luka's game up close and personal, that you appreciate even more.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I don't know what word you just said.
That man is so Arkansas. It hurts. I love that from Austin Reeves. Oh, what? It was like, For a second, Austin Reeves almost thought that he was called a slur up there on the podium. He's like, oh, what'd you call me? You call me an aficionado?
As a point of order, do you know where Austin Reeves is from?
Yeah, he's from Arkansas.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean...
they call him Hillbilly Kobe for a reason.
But, like, how... he's also, like, a golf junkie. He's a really good golfer, Austin
he's
Reeves.
He's a really good golfer.
Like, he's had to have been around, like, a clubhouse where, like, cigar aficionado is, like, you go to, like, a clubhouse bar at the turn and they have all the cigars there. There's had to have been, like, a magazine cigar aficionado, like, on the counter, and he's never been like, wonder what that word means.
That is, I mean, that's a lot of syllables for Arkansas.
Yeah, it is. It is. He could shoot, though. You know, he could shoot.
He's had some games over the last 2 weeks, that's for sure.
Oh, man. There was a couple of other things that stuck out about this game. LeBron and Luka, they look good. LeBron made sure everybody knew that he had gave the blessing for Luka to be announced last in the starting lineup. But both it was who was there and who wasn't there that really stuck out. We'll get to that next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Luka made his debut for the Lakers yesterday, and it was both who was there and who was not there that are also interesting about the Lakers blasting of the Utah Jazz, as Dirk Nowitzki showed up to Crypto. I always want to call it Staples.
Yes.
He showed up to Crypto and he said he was there. He's a Mav for life, but he was there to show his support for Luka Doncic because he understands the business side of basketball. And he understands how blindsided Luka was by getting dealt.
Everyone was.
I mean, and we heard the reports of, you know, Luka was in tears as he heard about this. I think that that kind of shows the magnitude of what that relationship between Dirk and Luka has grown to be. And also how Dirk Nowitzki feels the organization that he loves and has a statue in front of the arena did Luka absolutely dirty.
I mean, this is on a night when Dallas is playing back home in Dallas and Dirk is not there. And what was going on in Dallas with fans getting tossed out of the arena for being put on a Jumbotron for mouthing Fire Nico. It's the first time they put fans on a Jumbotron. The first game they did not. The first half of the game last night they did not. And they went to a karaoke segment and a fan was mouthing like a fake mic and they pulled it down and goes, Fire Nico, and the camera cuts away and security escorts him out of the building. Like, it is bad in Dallas.
Well, it doesn't help that Anthony Davis is now done for like 6 weeks with an adductor strain.
And they haven't even come out and put a real timeline on it because they know that he's probably done for a while. But, I mean, Dirk going to this game and making, like, Patrick Dumont, the governor of the Mavs, the part of the Adelson family, the new ownership group there, made a bunch of statements on the record.
Yeah. Yeah.
Backing up Nico Harrison, which I thought was insane. Just don't say anything. You were adding fuel to the fire.
Well, just, and if you missed what the statement was, he just basically said, Luka doesn't care and he's out of shape in a roundabout way. He said that, you know, they want guys that are there that are prepared and always, take pride in their work. And
yeah, he mentioned Jordan, Bird, and then he also threw Shaq in there.
Yikes.
Which Shaq is the most physically dominant player in the history of sport. I don't think anybody can argue that.
Well, notably, had said, I will show up out of shape and I will play my way into shape.
He had a toe that required surgery. And he said, I hurt it on company time. I am not going to deal with it on my off time. He did not get surgery for it in the off season. Instead, he said, I'm going to heal on company time. He went full on like workman's comp. Like, so invoking, I get the winner that Shaq is, but when you're like Shaq himself has said, I wish I would have cared more.
Yeah. If you look at the greats in the league, they worked really hard every day with a singular focus to win. And if you don't have that, you shouldn't be a part of the Dallas Mavericks. Patrick Dumont. That ain't it, boss. But he got booed when he was going to his seat. And rightfully so. And this is going to be a large part of what the Dallas Mavericks are going to have to go through. And I don't know if anybody noticed, they had a crippling loss to the Kings last night. 129-127. Uh-oh.
Yeah. And it was a DeMar DeRozan step through of a double team for a game winner.
It was also who wasn't there that should be garnering a little bit more attention, because lost in Luka's return was the fact that the NBA has rescinded the trade for Mark Williams, mm-hmm. that sent Dalton Connect, a 2031 first round pick. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know who the parts player was. Who was the other player that
I
went?
I can't remember.
They rescinded that trade because Mark Williams failed his physical. Mm-hmm. And it has come out that he's failed his physical. The Charlotte Hornets are now
contesting
that failed physical.
No take backs.
Because now they have to take Mark Williams back, mm-hmm. knowing that they were willing to deal him away. And they're saying, no. He should have passed that physical. Maybe there was buyer's remorse on the Lakers' part because, I don't know, they gave up their only asset that they have.
Both of them.
For Mark Williams. A rookie contract and a first-round pick.
Yeah, and the thing about this is it's very strange in essence is the reporting has been that they didn't fail him because of his back. Jared Greenberg, who works for NBA TV, TNT, had a report out that the Charlotte Hornets like basically wouldn't even let him in the weight room because of his back. He has publicly since retracted that statement. This was like, I want to say 3 days ago. He says, I'm sorry. I pride myself on having this right. I got it wrong, blah, blah, blah. But that came like right before the trade was rescinded. And my eyebrow went up of, ooh, did somebody get in trouble for saying something they weren't supposed to say? Because this very much feels like the Hornets disclosed X, Y, and Z, and now the Lakers are saying something wasn't disclosed.
Yeah.
And that's where you can get into trouble if you don't disclose an injury. Like, that'll get, like, the lawyers involved on both sides. Like, that's where I think this is ultimately headed. But remember, the Hornets put out a statement welcoming Mark Williams back, and then the next day, like, yeah, no, we're still trying to make sure this trade goes through.
Well,
it's like, what's going on here, guys?
In all of that, Dalton Connect is back to being a Los Angeles Laker. And look, that's a tough spot for him to be in that they told him, yeah, no, we're good, dog.
Yeah,
we're going to trade you away.
You're not going to get to play with Luka and LeBron.
And so J.J. Redick, and this is where having a former player who's been through these sorts of things and has seen every avenue of the NBA and how dirty the business can be, he decided he was going to give Dalton Connect the night off and just say, you don't need us right now. We don't need you right now. And it's not that we don't want you. You got to focus on you. So when we have you for the rest of this season, we can have Dalton Connect, the player that we know and that we drafted,
mm-hmm.
back and just process what you're going through.
Yeah, it was a nice little touch and an understanding of that. I mean, look, Dalton Connect he's probably feeling a certain kind of way right now. Like, oh, I don't matter.
Yeah.
Look, you can talk about, these guys make millions. They're still human, man.
And he's young.
Yeah. And not only that.
He's an old rookie.
But he's also thinking, I get to play with Luka and LeBron?
Yeah.
And then he goes to Charlotte?
We get to play with Melo. Wait, nope, he got hurt.
Here's the crazy thing when you think about this deal from the Charlotte Hornets point of view. They're a rebuilding team with a potentially very good 23-year-old big man. Why are they in such a hurry to get rid of their starting center?
I don't know.
Well, that's kind of the point. Like, do you think maybe they had some insight on, like, hey, if we can sell high, let's get out of the Mark Williams business right now?
Yeah, and they did the Lakers dirty. This also, like, would you be surprised at all if the Lakers were sitting there and when everybody was going, you gave up that 2031 pick for Mark Williams and Dalton Connect?
You
did that, and they were like, remorse. Oh boy.
I think there's a
we screwed this up.
I think there's a case to be made for that.
100%. And that's where Charlotte's lawyers can also get involved. And I hope this gets messy. I hope all the dirt comes out because I am a card-carrying member of the Laker Hater Club.
Oh yeah. No, it's like, look, I hope that, like, at worst, it gets amended and they get to put, like, a top four protection on that 2031 pick, but that it's still gone.
I don't like it. Because that means the Lakers would definitely get the top four pick.
Eh, well, I mean, you're not wrong. But you know how it goes.
Yep.
It's all an interesting spot to be. I tell you what.
Good on J.J. Redick.
No, it's a former player understanding. Look, I mean, it was a pro move. Come up next time for our worst day on the web, and hell hath no fury like a Swiftie scorned.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. We did that. But first, it's Big Canoe Sports on Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
When will people learn to not cross the Swifties?
Don't do it. Winning a Super Bowl, it doesn't give you the leeway to go after Taylor Swift.
And yet, CJ Gardner-Johnson took a shot at Taylor Swift for not being, quote, thick enough.
Oh.
He went full Desus and Mero.
No.
Do you know the line?
Well, that's the thing. If you can't go and rip off somebody else's joke, too.
That's the thing. For those that are unaware, it was the...
At Taylor Swift on the internet.
They did the pyramid game. And it was Desus and Mero, the old Showtime hosts. And Taylor Swift was the thing that they had to come up with.
This is bad.
And he goes, she's got a really long back.
Oh.
And he's immediately, Taylor Swift, immediately, Taylor Swift. And they got murdered.
Yeah.
By the Swifties.
Swifties, they don't mess around, dude.
But I mean,
they do not play.
It was hilarious how quick the connection was made.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh boy. Yeah. Oh boy. So Gardner Johnson kind of went down the same path. And it wasn't that he just got, you know, annihilated on social media. His mom has a restaurant and the Swifties are review bombing it.
See, that's dirty work, though.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that to a small business owner that, yeah, she may have raised CJ, but she didn't deserve that. The employees of that restaurant don't deserve that. You know, like, don't go after their business because one guy made a stupid remark about the person that you don't know, but you are a fangirl or fanboy of.
No.
Don't. I hate that.
Yeah, no, it's nasty stuff. She owns a restaurant called King's Grill, and there's all these reviews that are terrible customer service, below average food, one star, one star, one star, one star, one star, one star. So they are review, like, worst food and service in my life. The chicken was raw. They should close it down for putting people's lives at risk. I mean, it's just like...
That's not good.
It says all of these one star reviews within an hour of each other, and they're all made with girls' names.
That sucks.
So... Nasty stuff.
That is. In the Swifties, we get it. You love Taylor Swift.
The cult-like hives.
Bayhive.
The Swifties. Swifties and yeah. Players, too. Like the Muses.
What's that South Korean boy band, NTSB? Is that what they are?
NTS?
I don't know. I think there's B in there. I don't know.
BTS.
BTS. There we go.
Shows
BTS. NTSB is like the
National Transportation Safety Board.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, all of the stands of the National Transportation Safety Board, they really need to be put in check.
Yeah.
BTS, though, that
the K-pop
boy band.
Groups, like,
yeah,
it's cult without the murder.
Well, I mean, we haven't gotten there yet.
I mean, it's like
we haven't gotten there yet.
Like the obsessive, always online behavior of those communities is just. It's gross, to be honest. Like, I get, like, loving a thing and being so, like, I am. You are. But not to that extent.
No.
Like, it's...
I don't think there's anything I care about that much.
That much,
except
no.
for my family.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wouldn't go and, like, carpet bomb the review.
No.
No, I wouldn't do that.
No, you're messing with people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
All I'm because not somebody said somebody that you like isn't thick enough.
No. Her son said that.
Yeah.
Like, I know a bunch of great parents that have turd kids.
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna go.
It's not her. It's usually not their fault. Totally. Yeah.
No, I mean, don't go blame my parents for me. It's like when parents have a. It turns out a you know a family has a raises a serial killer. You know, it's like don't blame the parents. Well, always.
Well, yeah, I mean there is sometimes. Some culpability yeah. there, but don't ruin her business because he said something you don't like.
Now, if they put the kid in a cage for 10 years, you know, growing up, then yeah, okay.
I'm going to go out and get ahead of this. Taylor Swift is beautiful. How about that? Like, the Swifties, though, I don't think my niece, who I've talked about, my niece, both of my nieces, big Swifties. Actually, two of my nieces. Mm. I have multiple. But two of my nieces are big Swifties. And I remember one of them, which I don't think she is posting these bad reviews. I will ask her, though. She's like, Taylor's got a new album coming out. And I said, oh, she got dumped again? That I actually had to do some work to repair that relationship yeah. after that. It did not go over well.
I'll tell you right now, the look on Taylor Swift's face during that game, it looked like she was about to write an album.
Hey, maybe there is one. We have some bangers coming out of that Super Bowl loss. You know, heartbreak, man.
Yeah, it's a different kind of heartbreak.
And yeah, down in NOLA.
Now is she gonna change it up and go full hip hop, do the anti Beyonce?
Maybe. Well,
turn Travis Kelce back into hip hop.
They have like a Legends of Country mural in Nashville. They removed Taylor Swift from it. Yeah.
They add Beyonce?
They took her. No.
Country Album of the Year.
She has not been added to it.
Country Album of the Year.
I want to say it was maybe Brad Paisley that they covered her up with, which is a move.
Yeah.
But Country Legends, yeah. though. It's Legends of Country mural. Like they're all like at a bar having drinks together.
It's like dogs playing poker, but playing country.
T Swift, she's out. They're like, you're not country enough anymore.
I mean, she's pop.
You used us
yeah, I mean, she...
to get to pop. Maybe they'll replace her with Post Malone eventually, who went the opposite, yeah. just like Beyonce.
That transition's been very interesting. The face tattooed
mm-hmm.
rapper
yeah.
migrating to country.
Yeah. I like Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll doesn't have a genre. He just bounces back and forth. It's great.
No, it's... I was having this conversation, shout out Casey Holdall, who said that there was a very distinct crossover in fans with Jelly Roll. Like, you could be at a Stained concert,
mm-hmm.
and Jelly Roll could play there, and yeah. you'd have a lot of crossover. And I was like, I think that has more to do with Jelly Roll than it does Stained, because I think Stained is a different... They're not the same.
No, but he could be the buffer between, like, if you have, like, a benefit concert,
yeah,
right?
It's like the old Family Values Tour when you used to have, you know, Killswitch Engage, Stained, Korn, Limp Bizkit. I know. I went to the show in 99. And then all of Wu-Tang Clan and Ice Cube.
Hell yeah, Wu-Tang.
Like, it was supposed to just be Method Man and Red Man. I will never forget the show. But
all 19?
Everyone. Showed up on stage and it was like, oh my God, why is there 25 people on the stage with a microphone right now?
Mm.
It was absolutely bonkers.
That is awesome.
It was, oh my God.
I love Louis Tang Clan.
Look, you're talking, this is dating me, but also this was like the peak of Wu-Tang Clan, Korn, Limp Bizkit, Stained, like this, all of them at probably their highest. It was the most turned up show I've ever seen in my entire life.
Hmm. This is an interesting one.
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to F with.
No. I had this question too, because the first band that popped into my brain was Insane Clown Posse. Could Jelly Roll be a buffer for ICP?
Yeah, I could see dudes in JNCOs spinning glow sticks while getting down on some ICP.
Yeah, you want to talk about a cult?
Oh yeah, that was one of the first ones.
They are a real cult.
Have you ever seen that video? It pops up every now and then. It was like one of the original like viral YouTube videos of the ICP like. Rave under the street bridge.
No,
I'll find it for you in the break. And it's like, yeah, that was a time.
Do you think like any of the clown posse? You think like any of those ICP fans? Like they're like lawyers and they have like
100%.
Yeah, it's 100%. Just like, what do you do on the weekends? Paint my face like a clown and go wear JNCOs and beat people up?
Honestly, how
like,
different what? Is how is it? How you different is what? It from the Kiss heads?
A lot different.
Is it though?
Yeah. Kiss heads aren't throwing on the
makeup and tight leather and 6-inch heels.
Like, yeah, but they're not going out and like fighting people.
I mean,
you know,
I mean, but it's still, it's a level of weirdness.
It is. Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We used to have Wu-Tang Wednesdays. I liked Wu-Tang. I love Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh,
it's great.
It ain't nothing to bleep with.
Yeah. Just a rap crew that likes, you know, kung fu movies.
Did you see Method Man? I think we talked about it on the show. Yeah, we did. Method Man, the charges were dropped.
Yeah.
For beating up his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend.
At a Crunch Fitness.
Uh-huh. Look, I don't. If you haven't kept up with Method Man, Method Man found HGH.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he was a big dude to start with, but he is jacked now.
Yeah,
not something you want to bleep with.
No,
that's kind of how I
go
down that path.
All right, or nor are the Swifties.
No,
they'll fight you with
hell.
The internet.
Have no fury like a Swiftie scorned.
Yeah,
because you cross one, you cross them all, and there's like.
Now, does, like, millions. Yelp, do they go in and, like, their algorithm has to realize that, like, okay, we're getting
bombed.
A bunch of one-star reviews and it's out of character for this business to be getting these, and do they wipe all those out?
I don't know about that.
They should.
I mean, you think, but...
Yeah.
You know.
They need to internet that better and fix that.
Use AI.
Uh-huh. Allen Iverson.
There you go. Get him in on this. I have to find a way to sneak this audio in because it's just very funny. It's very simple. You think that when you're a professional athlete, you know about the other players playing in your league. But then every now and then you find out a wild surprise that they don't know anything about them. Good that you're coming up on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. Well, not everything is god-awful coming out of Dallas right now as it pertains to the Dallas Mavericks. Klay Thompson was up at the podium following the game, of which the other thing that I did not mention, Jason Kidd did not do post-game media availability last night.
Yeah, that is weak sauce.
Yep.
That is weak sauce. We see this all the time in college. I said this after Penn State's crippling loss in the semifinals, right? It was, they
Drew
lost to Notre Dame. Drew Aller plays horrifically. And he sat up there and he did something that we don't see from professional athletes.
Nope.
We don't see it from professional coaches often. And look, Mike Woodson, the head coach at Indiana, he did this past weekend and he's getting dragged for it. Jason Kidd isn't really getting dragged for this. It's like, oh, he just didn't do his post-game press availability. But in Mike Woodson, if you're wondering why he didn't, the report came out that he was going to step down, but he's now going to finish out the rest of the year. And it wasn't forced. He was just like, I'm done with college basketball. Yeah. He's not going to coach. He didn't do his post-game press. He's getting like raked through the coals for this. Jason Kidd's just like, yeah, there's a lot of negativity. I'm not going to do this. What?
And it's sliding under the door just because of everything else that's going on. But there was a little bit of fun last night. Klay Thompson got up and was asked about his new teammate, Max Christie, in which he enlightened everybody. He learned something new.
I thought that was Doug Christie's son for, like, years. But I would clarify that with him. They're not related. But same measurables, you know, 6'6 off guard. So, I mean, I've been incredibly impressed with Max. What a great addition. I mean, I've had great success with Michigan State guys in my career, and he's just another one. They come in, they know how to defend, they are team players, and he has such a bright future in this league.
You know if you shoot like that?
I did not, but he has a beautiful jump shot, great arc on the ball, backspin, and can't leave him open. He's been a pleasant surprise, and I'm excited to share it four with him for the rest of the season.
A lot of stuff there to take in. Number one, didn't know that Max Christie was not, in fact, Doug Christie's son.
So I think that he is saying what I think a lot of people are feeling, though, is like, you would assume Max Christie's Doug Christie's kid.
I mean,
the age difference makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, he doesn't look like him, but he doesn't, like, look horribly not like him.
Yeah.
Like, you could be like, okay, I mean, maybe. I mean, it's not brawn and brawny where it's like, yeah, it's this kid. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that situation.
Yeah, and Christie isn't a, like, very common name.
No.
The last name. No. I mean, we don't see it all the time. And in the NBA, like, especially if you're Klay Thompson, like, yeah, I'm Michael Thompson's kid.
Yeah,
like,
this is pretty normal, right? But the other part of that stood out was, you know, kind of where you're familiar with him. It's like, dog, he played in Los Angeles. You played against him.
No idea.
But it goes to show you, as far as like unless you're a guy further up scouting reports, a first ballot Hall of Famer just had no idea who you were.
Do you know
this is what I talk about when we talk about how teams are looked at and what they do and how they take care of things?
Yeah.
If you're not up at the top of the scouting report, they don't care.
I think what could have helped this is, do you know Max Christie is a junior? If it was Christie Jr. on his jersey, maybe then we would have known, because it's like, yeah, Doug Christie's name isn't Max.
Yeah.
You know, his name is Comac Carl Christie Jr. Why does he not go by Comac?
Comac is such a...
That's a badass.
It's like
name.
When the Blazers had Nate Williams, his real first name was Jonathan. Jonathan.
I can see why he...
Jonathan Nathan Williams. But Jonathan, like Jonathan's a name? Gene?
Gonna remember it.
It's J-E-E-N.
Jonathan. Yeah. I Comac, that sounds like Deadeye Shooter. I would assume Comac Christie is a Deadeye Shooter.
Comac Christie sounds like a DC character.
And not just the Jonathan on its own, but Jonathan Nathan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I mean.
Rolls off the tongue.
Robinson.
Williams. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
But Comac, that's a great name. I didn't realize his first name was Comac.
Yeah, I think he needs to go by that, or just Christie Jr., and that would have, we would have avoided all of this. Would have just
Max
made
instead
sense.
Of Comac?
Yeah. But, I mean, if Dad goes by Comac, then you usually Mac.
You
why does he go by Mac? Mac yeah. Christie. I don't know.
That feeling that
it's not adding up.
There's better options.
Now I'm starting to think he is Doug Christie's son. This is adding up. Not adding up. You know? I wonder if this like started with like Clay Thompson sat down with Max Christie and is like, dude, you got to tell me about your dad. Like, your dad's kind of out there, right?
And it's like, wait.
He's like, how do you know my dad?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I mean, everybody knows your dad. Yeah. He's like, nobody knows my dad.
Yeah, he's coaching the Kings right now, right?
No.
Like, what does that conversation go like? Like, how?
Loved your dad's game. You watch my dad play basketball?
Like, how does that conversation come up?
It's
like,
very awkwardly.
Does Clay just assume, like, right out of the gate? Like, yeah, no, I really mess with your dad. Like, yeah. He's up. He's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Who do you think my dad is? Yeah. Doug, right?
Yeah, Doug. No. Comac.
Yeah.
What?
I would have killed to be in the locker room when that happened. That's one of those times you're just like.
But Clay Thompson has just been like. Oh,
yeah, whatever.
Oh, cool. My bad. Walk away. Or just like slink off. Mm-hmm. Just slowly back away and be like,
just get
I'm
kind of wide-eyed and.
Out of this conversation. Welcome to Dallas.
Big gulps, huh? Well, see you later. All right, coming up next, the final coaching hire has been made in the NFL. How did this round of coaching go for those seven openings? We'll do that and more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.